Hi and welcome to another podcast from The Human Diver, where we are looking to apply counter-errorism techniques in diving. By that we mean human factors and non-technical skills. Our goal is to give you the knowledge and skills so that your dives are safer and more enjoyable. The podcast consists of audio blogs which have been published on our website. Show notes will be provided so you can dig deeper if you want. Ready to jump in? I recently had a conversation with an instructor trainer about one of the most powerful ways to improve feedback and reduce authority gradient. This is achieved by talking about a mistake or error they'd personally made on that dive to show the students that they were fallible, and thereby encourage the students to provide feedback on how the instructor could improve their performance. Back and forth we talked about this, and eventually the instructor said that they didn't think they'd made a mistake even though the outcome wasn't what was expected, and then the penny dropped. In the safety world, the word mistake has a specific meaning. The same applies to slips, lapses, and violations. The term violation has a significant negative connotation, but if you dig into the rationale behind the violation, you soon realize that we are often in a gray area. What is an error? Safety research has defined human error as being made up of three parts: slips, lapses, and mistakes. Slips, these are unintended and uncontrolled actions. Examples might include slipping with a screwdriver and damaging the wood, cross-clipping a bolt snap through others, thereby locking them both so you can't open either, using the inflate button on your power inflator instead of the deflate button. Lapses, these occur when we forget to do something. Examples might be forgetting your keys when you walk out the door and the door locks behind you, forgetting to check your SPG at the bottom of the shot line, forgetting which way the exit to the wreck is when you haven't laid and marked a line. Mistakes, where you think you are doing the right thing, but it is the wrong thing. This might be where you take a wrong turn while driving because you were thinking back to your previous experience of driving down this road. Giving a dive brief to navigate a wreck and describe the wreck entry point as the second hatchway instead of the third. Teaching a student how to undertake a specific in-water skill, but your idea of how to teach it is flawed because you've slowly drifted from your previous training. In each of the above situations, we consider them to be errors of omission. That is, we didn't do something that we were supposed to for whatever reason. These are the honest errors that we normally accept, as long as the outcome isn't too severe. Research has shown that we are more forgiving of errors of omission than errors of commission, described next. In the main, we recognize that punishing someone for these sorts of honest errors is unlikely to help change behaviors because they are part of human nature. We all do them. Unfortunately, outcome bias can negatively impact these thought processes. For example, forgetting the keys inside your house isn't a major issue. But what if the diver forgot to let another diver know that they hadn't replaced the out-of-date oxygen cells in their CCR and the diver had an oxygen toxicity event and drowned? Fundamentally, forgetting is forgetting and shouldn't impact the perception of the severity outcome. Violations, breaking rules. Now moving on to violations. These are normally defined as some form of intention to break the rules for our own personal gain and are often associated with recklessness and negligence. They are errors of commission, and research has shown that we are far less forgiving of errors of commission because we believe that those involved should have known better and should have applied the rules. However, as we'll see below, things aren't always that clear when we look a little closer at the context. Unintended violation? This is where you think you are following the rules, but you aren't. These are very similar to a mistake, but there is a rule present, whereas mistakes are normal behavior. An example here might be that the standards have changed and you were not aware of this change. Unfortunately, you were teaching to old standards when something went wrong. An investigation occurred and this was picked up. The notification for the standards change went into your spam folder and so you weren't aware. Another example might be when a diver pair becomes separated in a cave. One, diver one, exits thinking the other, diver two, has routed another way back to the surface. Diver two is found to have drowned as they were lost and didn't route out the way diver one thought they would. Situational or exceptional violation. This is where you break the rules because it is not possible to undertake the task without following them. An example of this might be because the dive center owner has said that you need to take one more diver on the training dive because another instructor has called in sick. This took you over the maximum number of students on a course. The client only has one more dive to do, and then they become certified. It is a low risk dive, and you accept the task. Besides, the boss has said if you don't do this, there are a number of other instructors waiting to join this dive center. Another example might be descending below the maximum operating depth of your gas to rescue your buddy. You are consciously making a decision that one risk is better than a loss. Routine violation. This is where everyone is breaking the rules, and ironically, to follow the rules would mean that you would be the odd one out. Fundamentally, this is because we are social creatures, and we like to conform. Speeding on the motorway is a great example of this. In most countries, speeding on the motorway is the norm, unless there are cameras or police around, and then everyone conforms to the law. In diving, this might be where you should complete a pre-dive buddy check, analyze your gas before going diving, stay within breath hold swimming distance of your buddy, or when you are separated from your buddy at depth, and then not searching for 1 minute before ascending. Recklessness. This is a special case, and in the professional safety world, happens very rarely, less than a fraction of a percent. This is where there is genuinely no thought or care for the outcome. I would argue that in the diving world, this is likely to be rare too. If a diver or instructor knew with 100% certainty that something bad was going to happen, they wouldn't likely do what they did. Generic error modeling system. James Reason and Jens Rasmussen showed that errors can occur at each level of human performance. Skill-based, slips and lapses, usually errors of inattention or misplaced attention. Rule-based, mistakes, usually a result of picking an inappropriate rule caused by a misunderstood view of what is going on, over-enthusiastic pattern matching, frequency gambling, and deficient rules. Knowledge-based, mistakes, due to an incomplete or inaccurate understanding of the system, confirmation bias, overconfidence, high cognitive workload, etc. Errors can also result from operating at the wrong level. Humans are reluctant to move from a rule-based to knowledge-based level, even if the rules aren't working. If we understand the causes of the errors, then we can do something about the conditions to reduce the likelihood that errors occur. James Reason said, "We can't change the human condition, but we can change the condition in which humans work." So what does this mean to us as divers? First off, we all make errors, and most of us will also commit violations of some form or another to achieve the goals and rewards and avoid punishment or retribution, because there are continual operational dilemmas in how we go about our lives. An error can be considered an unintended deviation from a preferred behavior with an unexpected outcome. Note that the preferred behavior might align with the rules, depending on the culture and organization, or it might not. After the event, because of the hindsight bias, we are able to identify where the errors and violations took place, whereas in real time, they are not easily identified because if they were, they would be corrected and the error or violation would not have happened. Secondly, where outcomes are severe, they will attract more attention than errors and violations that don't have severe outcomes. This is known as outcome bias. What this means is that we are not judging the quality of the decision at the time based on previous knowledge, skills, and attitudes, but rather the severity of the outcome. For example, when a diver enters a wreck without a line, silts it out, and drowns, we are more critical than if the same activity ends up with the diver back on the surface a little shaken. Thirdly, with the exception of recklessness, errors, and violations, provide learning opportunities for those within, divers or instructors, and in charge of dive center managers, skippers, training organizations, manufacturers, authorities, etc., the system. In fact, you can look at violations as being an opportunity to better understand what rules are in place, why they are in place, and what value they add to those within the system. Crucially, if the rules are being constantly broken, then they are most likely ineffective rules focused on protecting the system or the organization rather than keeping individuals safe. However, such an attitude doesn't play to the focus on liability so prevalent in Western cultures. Another podcast on why people break rules will be coming shortly. So back to the original discussion with the instructor trainer. A mistake is an unintended action, where the instructor believed they were doing the right thing but weren't. And an error is an unintended deviation from a preferred behaviour with an unexpected outcome, preferred being on the part of the instructor. In both cases, there are learning opportunities, and if the story is told well, those in positions of authority can increase psychological safety by lowering the authority gradient and thereby increase learning. Finally, you cannot create a just culture if you don't understand how human error occurs and manifests itself in a human and technical system. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more about what was discussed in this episode, head over to the Human Diver website at thehumandiver.com, where you will find details about our education programs, the If Only documentary, the book Under Pressure, and the many, many blogs we have published there. If you think others should listen and learn, consider sharing the link. Thank you.